It's such a good thing to be together with God's people. Amen. Whenever two or three gather together, and we're more than two or three together. Amen. The Lord said, I will be here in your midst. And guys, listen, you know, you can be in a church gathering and miss Jesus altogether. You know, we need to be looking for him, listening for him. He's speaking. Did you know that? God is speaking to us today by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. But we have to have ears to hear. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So now I want to talk about something that I don't know about you, but I've certainly dealt a lot with in my life. And the time that we're living in right now really kind of adds to the frustration that sometimes can produce, I'm going to call it unrighteous anger, but sometimes righteous anger. And I want to talk about anger this morning, and when is it right to be angry? Because anger is an emotion that God gave us. We were made in his image. And did you know that God gets mad? God gets angry. He gets angry at sin. He gets angry at injustice. He gets angry at oppression. When people oppress others, he gets angry at those who stir up trouble. He gets angry at the prideful. He gets angry at those who tell lies and deceive others. He gets angry with those who shed innocent blood. And he gets angry at those who abuse and exploit the vulnerable and the helpless. God gets angry at unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. And so we should love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. As followers of Jesus, we're lovers of the truth. Amen. The word of God is our standard of what's right and what's wrong. We've all had opinions about things, but an opinion isn't necessarily truthful. How many here have been convinced about something in your life before? You were just convinced it was true, only to find out later that it wasn't true. All of us have. That's what you call deception, right? Yeah, you believe a lie as though it were true. And there are some people that are very good at telling lies and manipulating people's emotions and getting people to do all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, the devil knows how to manipulate emotions and get us all stirred up. Amen? How many have ever gotten stirred up before over spilled milk? I mean, something that was just petty and you got all upset over it. But the Bible is full of examples when God gets angry. But whenever God gets angry, it's always for the right reason. It's always for a good reason. In Ephesians 4 and verse 26, a very familiar passage, it says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So God understands that there's times when we will have anger. But when we're angry, we have to really guard ourselves that we don't do something foolish in the heat of the moment. I mean, you know that the jails are bursting with people who did things in the heat of the moment. A loss, a momentary loss of self-control. Somebody irritated somebody and they lost control. And now they're paying a heavy price for that loss of control. Now, the good news is that you and I, as children of God who have received the Spirit of the Lord, we have a supernatural resource. God will give you the grace or the power, the ability to control yourself and even take control of your emotions. So in each one of us, there is an outer man and an inner man, a soul man, amen, and a spiritual man if you're in Christ. And that outer man sometimes wants to have a temper tantrum. But if you're in Christ, you have to be the, amen, you need to draw from the resources of the adult that's within you. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So that you can tell that outer man what he's going to do rather than have him tell you what you're going to do. When you get mad, sometimes we can lose it. We can blow our stack, if you will. And it never produces anything good. Anytime you lose your cool, somebody or something's going to get broken or somebody's going to get hurt. Whether it's simply a verbal lashing that we give somebody because they angered us. And so we're not to be fretful about evildoers even. In other words, you don't be obsessed with all the evil that's going on around you. But at the same time, there is a thing called righteous indignation. That means you get angry over the things that God gets angry over. And you rejoice in the things that delight the Lord. So if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, you're going to also have the desires of the Lord. So we need to listen to the right voice, if you will. Whenever we're confronted with a situation that tests our patience, we need to quickly call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, amen, and say, Lord, help me, grant me grace, give me strength, Lord, amen. And do you know the Lord will provide for you if you call on Him? And then you also have to do your part and say, flesh, you are going to submit to the Spirit of God. Because as a child of God, there's no such thing as I can't or I couldn't. It's a matter of will you submit to the Lord and obey His voice in the heat of the moment and do what's right. Now, all of us here know what it's like, don't we, to say something in the heat of the moment that later you really regret, because once you say it, you can't take it back. And death and life are in the power of our tongue. We can destroy people. People are doing it, especially nowadays on social media, on Facebook. They're destroying people. The politicians are doing it. They're trying to destroy the credibility of one another, even if it takes lies to do so. And you know, it's true that people are getting riled up. They're getting angry. They're getting stirred up over sometimes something that's not even factual, but because of hearsay or gossip, and they just thought, well, it sounds true, so it must be, and so I'm going to take up your offense. You know, offended people want other people to be offended too. Angry people want to surround themselves with people just like they are. Misery loves company. And so we have to be careful that we don't get into the camp of the offended, of the angry, amen? But that we maintain a walk with the Lord, sanctify the Lord. That means set apart the Lord in your heart. Call upon Him, ask Him for strength, for grace, amen, to stay the course, to be steady in your walk, and not do what the crowd is doing. If the crowd is not following Jesus, don't go there. Amen? If God is leading us as His people, as a congregation, in a certain direction, that's a good thing, amen? We should be united in the purpose of God. But if it contradicts the will, the mission of God, then we're not to go there. So be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, deal with your anger problem quickly. Don't harbor it. Don't hold on to it. Because it says in verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Because by doing so, you're giving an open door to the enemy. When we hold on to anger, it's like giving an open invitation to Satan to come into your life, into your heart, to not only cause you to become a bitter person, but that bitterness can also be spilled out on others around you. And that's what we see happening a lot of times, even on the street, is you got a couple angry people stirring up everybody else, getting them offended as well, angry as well. Amen. And sometimes the people don't even know what they're really offended at. But we all have it. We want to identify with someone or something because we're social creatures. And so if people don't know what is real and what is authentic, what is true, then they're going to go with whatever the crowd is saying or whatever's popular in Hollywood. The New Living Translation says it this way. Don't sin by letting anger control you. What happened to Cain when he slew Abel in the beginning? He allowed anger, right, to control him. He says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. This is very important also in marriage relationships. As soon as possible, he's saying, deal with it. Work it out. Discuss it. The Good News Bible says it this way. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. And do not stay angry all day. So the question is when does anger become a sin? So Jesus taught us on anger. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, he says, "You have heard it that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." I think most of us would say, yeah, murder's not a good thing, right? That's got to be a sin. That's got to be a part of that list, right? But then in verse 22 says, he said, "But I say to you." So he's instituting an amendment here, if you will, to the teaching on murder. So no longer could people take pride. Well, I never murdered anybody, so I must be somewhat righteous, right? Because he said, listen, what did Jesus do? Jesus exposed the motives of the heart. Under the law, people could live in external righteousness. They could obey certain rules, amen, and impress people maybe in some cases that they live such exemplary lives, at least in the eyes of man. But God looks beyond the external, amen, and sees the internal. He sees the heart. He sees the real you. And there's no escaping the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So God started from the heart. He started peeling back the layers, amen, of the facades that we put up, amen, and he started exposing people's hearts. And because of that, people hated him. How many know that the truth sometimes hurts? We don't like to hear, but we need to hear. "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Without a cause. "And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Wow. So Jesus is basically categorizing different levels or degrees of punishment based upon the sin. I know we've all probably repeated it or heard it said that, well, all sin is the same. No, it's not. Not all sin is the same. What kind of court of law would it be if somebody that stole a candy bar got the same sentence as somebody who murdered somebody? How many know that God is a just judge? And Jesus broke it down here, and he's saying there are degrees of punishment based upon the crime. And he was using the illustration of something that they were familiar with. That was their local court system. So in the first case, Jesus said a person who's angry with his brother without a cause would be in danger of the judgment. And that is the lower court. That might be like a county court, if you will. And what he's condemning here is anger that is unjustifiable. Being angry where there was no offense intended. Sometimes people get angry, you know, over mistakes that people made that was not intentional. But I don't know about you, but I made a few mistakes and I've stepped on a few toes unintentionally. Sometimes intentionally, but, you know, I've stepped on some toes unintentionally. Right? And I'm like, what? What did I do? Has anybody ever been there? You did something, you offended somebody, and you didn't even realize you did that? And we need to have some grace, all right, for the weaknesses that we see in one another, the quirks that we have in one another. Because, again, people are just getting all stirred up over hearsay and rumors. And there's all kinds of craziness because of that. Now, certainly, if somebody is wronged, all right, that's a justifiable anger. Amen? If somebody is wronged, if there's an injustice done to somebody, that's a justifiable anger. Or especially where God's honor is at stake. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people use the Lord's name in vain. I don't like it when people mock the Lord. Amen? Because if you love Jesus, amen, it hurts you when people say something against your Lord, amen? But even more serious was the sin of insulting a brother, you know? So some people would use the word raca, which is an Aramaic term, meaning empty one. Or you may even say in modern terminology, calling somebody an airhead. But it was used as a word of contempt and abuse. And he said those who use that term against somebody else were in danger of the council. And that is a higher court. That was the Sanhedrin he was referring to. And that's the highest court in the land at that time. So to call somebody raca or a fool, you know, You know, it's even worse if you think about it, because what they're really saying is that it means more than just silly behavior. He says, if you call somebody a fool, he says, you're in danger of hellfire. What he's saying really is that if you speak to somebody in such a way that in your heart you have murder towards them, that you wish, if you will, that they would be condemned to hell, then you yourself would be in danger of hellfire. Now, I grew up around this one family, some kids that I played with when I was a kid. They had quite a vocabulary, you know. Once in a while, I'd pick up on that, and my parents didn't tolerate bad language when I was growing up. So sometimes I'd get caught up in the bad language thing, and I'd pay the price for that, you know. Well, they could cuss till the paint peels off the wall, you know, and get away with it. But I remember they used to always say something that even when I was a kid, I had enough, I think, knowledge of God or fear of God in me that they would say something like, I hope you go to hell, or go to hell, or GDU. And that's kind of the sense and the research I've done on this passage of what they're saying is that may God damn you to hell. Okay? In other words, you're standing as a judge over somebody else and wishing harm, speaking murderous thoughts, if you will, over somebody. He's saying you, who would do such a thing, are in danger yourself of hellfire. So Jesus taught us that all unrighteous anger, cursing, abusive language, it really contains the spirit of murder. 1 John 3:15 says, whoever hates his brother, what? Is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So here it is again, where, okay, so you never murdered somebody, you never took their life, but you can be a murderer in your heart if you harbor hatred towards someone. And that's why we need to deal with anger quickly, because anger can turn into murder. How many have begun with just being angry and to where that anger accelerates? Have you watched any of the protests that go on? Hopefully none of you have been involved in any of those, but have you been watching any of the protests? How things can shift suddenly to where it is a peaceful protest, to all of a sudden this thing that gets stirred up and people are now out of control. You see, as children of God, we are to be salt, we are to be light. Amen? We are to be self-controlled. And we cannot be self-controlled if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to rely upon the grace, the power of God to have discipline in your own body, to discipline what comes out of your mouth. It requires the grace or the power of God. You and I are no match for our adversary. He knows what buttons to push. He knows how to get under your skin, doesn't he? And he waits until we let ourselves go. We're not praying like we used to. We're not in the Word like we used to. We're not in fellowship with other believers like we used to. And you start to get weak. And he just waits until you get weak. And then he hits you at a very vulnerable time. He knows, he's been doing this a long time. He knows how to get under your skin. Even the things that, you know, usually wouldn't even bother you. Now you're being shooken over little stuff. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Moving right along here. Jesus went on to say in verse 23, Matthew 5:23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, God says, listen, if you're harboring anything towards a brother or sister, and you want to come and offer, I don't care if it's offering praise to God. You know, God delights in it when we give an offering of thanksgiving, right? Of praise to God. But he says, if you have something against a brother or sister, God does not delight in that sacrifice of praise. God does not receive your worship until you first reconcile to your brother. You see, a lot of people think that, well, I can hold on to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness towards somebody, and I'm going to come to church and I'm going to give God all this praise. I'm going to swing from the chandeliers, run do the pew hopping and run around the aisles, you know, and all that stuff. But if you got something against somebody in your heart, you're holding unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, or you're angry towards somebody, that's why God says if we're in a relationship with somebody, amen, that we need to quickly come together and reconcile, amen, so that your prayers are not going to be hindered. You want God to hear your prayers? Make sure your heart is completely clean before Him. Make sure that you've repented of every known sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, don't make excuses for it. Immediately deal with it, amen? God has given you the grace to be free from it. God never convicts us of anything without providing us what? The grace to be free from that thing. Hallelujah. Amen? So if the Holy Spirit is convicting you today, that's a good thing. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that God convicts me. I've had a few weak moments in traffic. Moving right along. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, we see this in the Lord's Supper and communion, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We have to examine ourselves, guys. Well, God, I thank you that Joe's here to hear that message today. It's me that's standing in the need of prayer. It's me that needs to hear the word and say, Lord, what about me? Do I have a clean heart? Is everything right between you and I? How many know that's the most important, is that you're right with your Creator? Amen? Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I always strive to live with a conscience free of offense towards God and towards man. We need to live free, amen, in our conscience towards man as well as God. And if you are at peace with your brother, amen, you can be at peace with God. You can't say you love God who you don't see if you don't love man who you do see. You know, this is a serious matter, guys. And Jesus said in verse 25, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your enemy or adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown in prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Jesus is referring to a reluctance to admit guilt. How many guilty people are in a court of law these days? How do you plead? Not guilty. It wasn't my fault. You know, to the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Once you know what is true, what is right, you're responsible for your actions. You can't blame other people. You can't blame your parents or your teacher or the police or anybody. You need to take responsibility. If it's your action, if you did something, amen, that God says no to, and you know it was wrong, then you need to take full responsibility, amen. You need to be in agreement, even if the enemy himself comes up with an accusation and says, hey, you sinned, you told a lie. You know, the best thing you can do is say, thank you, devil. Now I can repent of it. I can confess it before God, and I can be at peace with God. Amen? Well, that's not the outcome that he hoped for, but that's the outcome that should happen. If even your enemy is true, if he's telling the truth about you, take responsibility for your actions. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some politicians that would take responsibility for their actions today? Okay, yes, I messed up. I'm not a perfect person. There's no such thing. But I can learn from my mistakes, and I can be an example by being responsible for my own actions. Amen? Even when you and I mess up, just be responsible. Take responsibility for it. Be honest. Confess it. Humble yourself. It's your pride sometimes that gets in the way of your victory. You can't be free until you're willing to obey the Lord and His instruction to you. And God doesn't convict us for nothing. Once again, Jesus said it's better to promptly settle with an accuser rather than run the risk of a court trial, is what he's saying. Sometimes people will settle out of court rather than go to court. All right, especially if a person realizes, hey, I'm guilty. it could be a lot easier if I just say, okay, how much do I owe you? Whatever. than to go before the judge, amen, and get slapped with a more severe sentence. And Jesus is saying, listen, agree with your adversary while you're in the way with him. He says, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer. The officer, of course, would be the one to take you to jail. Amen? He's saying, be clear. Be quick to take responsibility. Amen. Now, if we remain unrepentant, that means we're unwilling to change. We're unwilling to turn away from our sin. Then eventually that will catch up to you. This is the thing. There are people who think that they can just stall the process. Has anybody beside myself, maybe when you were a kid, got caught doing something wrong? Maybe you stole a cookie. All right. Something as simple as a cookie. I know none of you have, I see halos all over this place today, but you know, a cookie or something. And so your parents say, yeah, okay. Did you get into the cookie jar? No. And you know, the longer that you stall the process, the longer that you try to talk your way out of it, the deeper what? You get in. And there are people who live a lie because their whole life is built on layers of deception. Yeah. And eventually, what's hidden in darkness will be brought out into the light. There are no secrets. Amen? With God, everything is naked, if you will. That's what the Bible says. And open, exposed to the one to whom we shall give an account. So there's, the best thing we can do is say, Lord, I'm taking responsibility. I took the cookie. All right? And I'm taking responsibility. I'm sorry. I'm willing to receive my punishment. And you know what the Lord does often? When he sees that he has a son or a daughter that is willing to be quick to admit the guilt and take responsibility, is a thing called grace. God says, you know what? I'm proud of you. You took responsibility for your actions. You're not going to have to pay the full price of that. Maybe there might be a little punishment that goes along with it. But God is gracious. God is merciful. It's much better. Even as David said, Lord, I'd rather fall under your judgment than the judgment of man. Because God, he knew God's heart, and God was gracious, God was merciful. And so we need to fall on Jesus. We need to call on Jesus and confess to Jesus. Amen? So you can get things right between you and him. You can get this stuff off your chest. You can have a conscience that's clear. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Guys, I have seen people who once walked with the Lord. They had a beautiful walk with Jesus. They were such an expression of God's mercy, his love, out of their life. And the enemy successfully got them offended at somebody. They took up an offense. Somebody did something to wrong them. And instead of dealing with it right away, they let it go. They snuffed it. They buried it, if you will, and tried to cover it over. Meanwhile, it's that thing has been festering in them, and it's like cancer to the soul. It's just eating them up on the inside. And this, after a while, the sweetness and the fragrance of Christ, amen, gets clouded by this bitterness that's starting to spring forth, amen. And a person who was once full of the love of God, amen, is now becoming a bitter, angry person, judgmental, amen, and hurtful towards others. That's that root of bitterness springing up. That's defiling many, you see. We have to guard against unforgiveness. We have to guard against unrighteous anger and holding on to anger in our hearts, because anger eventually can turn into murderous thoughts. Are you hearing me, somebody? And though you may not physically murder somebody, you can certainly murder them with your words and your actions. And God takes no delight in that. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because Jesus was willing to pay the price that we deserve to pay, that Jesus paid, amen, in full for our sin. The righteous one died for the unrighteous one. God, in His mercy, gave us amazing grace at the cross, amen. And even while we were in sin, Christ had died for us, amen, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled to God, so we could have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you and I are not willing to forgive others, then Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you, your sins. So before you come before God with your offering of thanks and of praise, and even as we take communion together today, we need to reconcile, make sure that things are right between us and our fellow man. In the case where you can't actually go to that person or you can't connect with that person, then I discovered that what I can do is to those people that I might have hurt in my past, God told me I want you to pray for them the way you would pray for yourself. Pray for them with the same passion, the same desire that you would pray for you. Pray for them. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. And what I find is that even people that in the natural I may have every right to hate, I can find myself actually loving that person, because as you pour into somebody, even that doesn't deserve it, you can find yourself loving somebody who is your enemy. Jesus said, to love your enemy. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be what? The children of your Father in heaven. Do you see how that works? Start doing the opposite of what your outer man, your emotional man wants to do. He wants to reach out and touch somebody, amen? But the Spirit of God inside you says, I want you to reconcile. I want you to pray for. I want you to bless instead of curse. I want you to do the opposite of what they're doing. And that way, not only are you going to save yourself, but you might even bring that person to repentance. I've struggled with things like this in my life, people that have hurt me. But I determined I'm going to obey the Lord. I just do it, even sometimes it may be painful at first. I say, Lord, help me to do this. Help me to love. Help me to forgive. Give me the grace to do this. Start praying for that person. Start being kind to that person, even though they don't deserve it. It's called grace. And I've seen people who once hated me change, have a total different attitude after a while. God's word is true. If we would listen to His voice, we'll do well. We'll have peace. Sometimes what we refer to as righteous anger is nothing more than a desire for personal vengeance on a person who has offended us. Think about it. Sometimes what we call righteous indignation is nothing more than a desire for personal vengeance on somebody who's offended us. Yeah. Well, I'm righteous because what they did was wrong and what I do is right. But you see, if the truth be known, all of us have failed. All of us have sinned. All have what? Fallen short of the glory of God. All. There's none righteous, the Lord said, not one. We all have to come the same way. Broken, busted, disgusted, come before God, Lord, as an unclean thing and saying, God, please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please have mercy on my soul. And God in His mercy forgives. And He gives chances, amen, for us to repent and turn back and do the right thing. Amen. And He wants us to do the same for others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Once again, Ephesians 4:26, Don't sin by letting anger control you. Right now, guys, we're experiencing a horde of hell, an onslaught from hell. Amen. That's being unleashed on the earth and in our nation. But we need to understand something, that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We are not to be influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. We are supposed to draw from the resources of his grace. We are to pray in the Holy Spirit and build ourselves up. Amen. So that our inner man becomes stronger than our outer man. So when somebody comes against the outer man, the inner man wins and says, no, I'm going to bless instead of curse. If you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin. Don't hold on to it, in other words. Deal with it right away. Because we have lots of opportunity. Guys, if you're watching something online, whether it's news or YouTube or whatever it is, and you find yourself getting caught up in it, and the anger, okay, and the fretting, then change the stations. Get into something wholesome, amen, and good. Get into the Word of God. Listen to some good preaching, amen. Get into some good music, some Christian music. But build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Strengthening yourself in the Lord. Encouraging yourself in the Lord. If you're meditating and thinking on and dwelling on things that are negative, after a while, that negativity will start to stick to you. And you can find yourself becoming very negative and pessimistic. And you can get caught up into that spirit of this world right now that's saying that everything is bad. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. We say, listen, we serve the God of all hope. I'm not worried about any of this stuff, amen, because I know who I'm with, I know who's for me, and I know where I'm going to go when I die, praise God. So in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy the journey. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. Let's in all things give thanks. Hallelujah. Do the opposite of what the world is saying. Oh, woe is me. Too many people are killing themselves. Why? Because they don't have any hope, but you and I have God of all hope on our side. Instead, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you're so good to us. We rejoice in you, Lord. You are the strength of our lives. Yes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. As you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you take a moment to bow your heads right now? If God has spoken to you about anybody, something that's unresolved, something that needs to be dealt with, I want you right now before the Lord, ask Him to give you the grace to forgive that person from your heart. Don't hold on to it anymore. Amen. If you can, go to that person, reconcile, and then come and bring your offering to the God. Amen. To the Lord. But if you can't, I want you to pray for that person right where you're at. I want you to pray for them the way you would pray for you. And I want you to ask God to bless that person instead of curse them. Ask the Lord to forgive them for what they did. Even as Stephen, as he was being stoned, he said, Lord, please don't hold this to their charge. And Jesus from the cross has said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive that person. That means let them go. Cancel the debt. Say it. Say, I forgive you. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You are free to go. In Jesus' name, I forgive you. Let them go. Lay it on the altar right now. Lay it on the altar of sacrifice. Make that sacrifice of your emotions. That outer man is saying, I'm going to deny that part of me that wants to hold on to this, that wants to be bitter, that wants to be angry, that wants to hold that person accountable. Instead, say, I'm going to release that person right now in Jesus' name. Speak to him. God brought somebody. He brought a picture of somebody to you. I want you to speak to that person right now and say, I forgive you. I release you. In Jesus' name, you owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. You're free to go. Let it go. Let them go right now. As you let go of these people that have hurt you, you will find your freedom come. You will find the mercy of God working in your heart again. The light will come on in the places of darkness. Hallelujah. God, help us. Grant us grace, Father, right now to forgive, to release others. Even as you forgave us, so we forgive those who ought against us. God, help us. Don't give the devil any opportunity to destroy you. Give no place to him. Let go of that anger. If you need to just say, Father, I repent of my anger. I renounce that. If there's a spirit of anger in you, just renounce that thing right now. Say, spirit of anger, I renounce you in Jesus' name. Spirit of murder, I renounce you in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, I renounce you in Jesus' name. And I command you to leave me now. Lord, I receive your mercy. Now receive God's forgiveness. Say, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for your blood. Lord, I turn to you now and I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. And Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Lord, I ask you to clothe me in your full armor. Put a hedge of protection around my heart and mind. Lord, anoint my head with oil. And let my cup overflow once again. God, let the joy of your presence well up within me. Let it be a wellspring, hallelujah, of life. Restore me, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.